Brother Sidney. I appreciate God's touch on his life, and I want you to hear him gladly. As far as I know, you've never preached here before, but it's so glad to have you.
Pleasure.
Amen. Now, you better welcome him, and you better help him, because you're going to be here one of these days, and you're going to need some help from the Lord. Amen. I thank him for his goodness this day. Somebody said, "Preacher, you wore out." No, I'm refreshed this morning. Got a few hours sleep and I feel good in my soul. And thank God for what he's done. I want you to pray for the man of God as he preaches this morning. You can be seated. And Brother Sidney, they'll run the light for you back there. I love you. Amen.
Judges chapter number 16. Verses 28 through 30. Judges chapter number 16, verses 28 through 30. Let me say it is my honor and privilege to be here with you, and thank you for this great privilege to preach. And I pray that the Lord will speak to us from the pages of his word. We're looking at Judges 16. I want to read verse number 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. We, of course, are in the book of Judges during the time of the judges, and we've come to, I guess, the most famous judge of them all, Israel's strong man, the Danite by the name of Samson. As we come to his life, we're at the very end. They have taken him and put out his eyes. They have bound him. They have blinded him. They drug him down into the wheelhouse, grinding house, and they belittled him, spit on him, and made fun of him. Samson, when we find him here, is in no doubt deep, dark despair. He is in depression. He is in the darkest moments of his life. For 20 years, Samson has judged in the land of Israel, but he's kind of flopped around like a fish out of water and never really got to do what God chose him. Don't ever forget, God chose Samson, and God had chosen him, but Samson had never really done what God had chosen him to do. But down here in his darkest moment, at the depths of despair, when all hope is gone, he's in depression like no other time. It is dark all around him. I believe he begins to see what God really had for him. He begins to understand what God had called him for. It had finally got dark enough for Samson to see it. And I'm going to preach for just a few minutes on that thought. It finally got dark enough for me to see it. In his darkness is when he saw what God had for him. It is seen in verse 28 in his confidence. Look again with me, verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord. He was confident that no matter how bad it was, no matter how dark it was, no matter how deep in despair and depression it was, he was confident that he could still call upon the name of the Lord. I'm glad his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. I'm glad that he's not too far away, no matter how deep you are, no matter how dark it is. I'm glad that you can still call on the Lord. He not only was confident that he could call on the Lord, verse 28, he said, O Lord God, remember me. He was confident that he could count on the Lord. He said, Lord God, remember me. He was confident that the Lord had not forgotten him. I know it's never happened to you. I seen the halos pop out on your head when I came up here, but I've been in deep, dark times. I throwed both hands up and said, Lord, have you forgot about me? Do you not know where I am? But in his darkest moment, Samson realized that the Lord had not forgot him. No matter how bad he had done, no matter how bad he had messed it up, the Lord still knew who he was, still knew where he was. He said, Oh Lord, remember me. He could count on the Lord that he had not forgotten him. He said, and I pray thee and strengthen me. He'd count on the Lord had not failed him. No doubt the devil slipped up, the Philistine slipped up and said, your God's forgotten about you, and there's nothing your God can do for you. We've took all your strength, we've poked out your eyes, but he still asked the Lord, if you would one more time, let me feel the Holy Ghost come upon me. He said, strengthen me one more time. I'm glad that no matter how bad it may seem to you this morning, God has not forgotten you and God has not failed you. It may be the darkest time in your life, but he will strengthen you in due season. Hallelujah. I'm glad that the Lord had not forgotten him. The Lord had not failed him. Watch this in verse 28. He said, I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged for my eyes. He could count on the fact God had not forgot him, God had not failed him, and God had not finished with him. I don't know if that's a helping you this morning, but it's a helping me to know it may be dark. I may be down in the dumps. I may be at my lowest moment, but God is not finished with me yet. He's got something. He's got something else for my life. Finally got dark enough for me to see it, found in his confidence. Verse 29, they bring him down to the Colosseum and put him in between the pillars, where God's been trying to get him for 20 years, the place where he can really do the work of God. You'd think it'd be on some mountain. You'd think it'd be somewhere in the land of the Danites. But God had ordained that it be right in the middle of that wicked and perverse nation, right in the temple of their God, right in their Colosseum. And they put him in between those pillars. And he puts his hands up on the pillars. And we see that it finally got dark enough for him to see it in not only his confidence, but in his commitment. What's verse number 30 with me? What's verse 30? The Bible said, and Samson said, what's this phrase? Let me die. He had finally figured out what the Lord Jesus would say later in Matthew 16 and 25. He that findeth his life will lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, he shall find it. For 20 years, Samson lived the high life. Samson was big man on campus. Samson had it all exactly like he wanted it, but it wasn't like what God wanted it. But standing in between those pillars, he finally realized what the Christian life was all about. And he said, I'm about to die, preacher, but I just started living. I just found out what life is really all about. Said, let me die. He made a commitment to the way of the Lord. It doesn't make sense, but if you're going to live with him, you got to die with him. If you're going to reign with him, you got to suffer with him. It doesn't seem to make sense, but it is the way of the Lord. Oh, I know what you're thinking. I'd die for him. Well, my goodness, you won't even live for him, much less die for him. Matthew 16, 25 ain't all about dying. It's about dying to yourself and giving it all to the Lord. Samson said, it's all yours. I don't want it anymore. I'm ready to die right here. The way of the Lord. Watch it in verse 30 again. He said, he bowed himself. He said, let me die with Philistine. And he bowed himself. I never read in those other three chapters where Samson ever bowed himself. But between them pillars, he is always swelled up, chest out, shaking himself, flexing his muscles and whipping all his enemies. But down there between them pillars, in the darkest moments of his life, he found out he made a commitment not only to the way of the Lord, but he made a commitment to the worth of the Lord. He said, this life's worth nothing. That strength's worth nothing. Those victories are not worth nothing. I give them all away. I bow in thy presence. I humble myself before you. You're worthy. Only you're worthy. Only you're worthy. He's the only one. It's not about you. It's not about the Philistines. It's not about Samson. I said it's all about him. And Samson bowed himself before God. He made a commitment to the way of the Lord. He made a commitment to the worth of the Lord. Well, watch this. He made a commitment to the work of the Lord. He said, and he bowed himself, what's this phrase, with all his might. Nowhere had Samson had to use all his might. The Spirit of God had come on him like a, put him on like a coat and whoop every enemy, no matter how many there were, provide his every need, do everything could. Nowhere did he have to do it with all his might. But down there between those two pillars, in the darkest of the dark, Samson began to see, if you're going to do anything, if you're going to do anything, let me just say this. I believe God's people ought to be the on time, every time. They ought to work hard. They ought to be the hardest worker on the shield. They ought to do every, you ought to give it everything you got. If you're a truck driver, ditch digger, a bank employee, a stay-at-home mother, whatever it is, you ought to do it with all you got. And we'd be a double hypocrite if we'd work hard like that in the secular world and come to the house of God and throw it into neutral and go about high speed. But Samson said, I finally realized that whatever I'm going to do for God, I'm going to just let it all hang out. I'm going to give it everything I got. And he began to push with all of his might. Oh, what could God do in your life if you'd humble yourself, if you'd bow yourself and just push with all of your might. Just push with all of your might. Just give it all you so I ain't got much. Let it all hang out. Give it all you got. Do the best you can. Go with all that you got. No need to leave anything for tomorrow. Let's give it all to it today. Finally got dark enough for him to see it. Seen in his confidence. Seen in his commitment. We finish in verse 30. We'll see it in his course or in his Christ-likeness. Now, I know you preachers that are smarter than me, y'all find it. But I don't find a lot of places from Judges 13 to this text where Samson looks a lot like Jesus. Now, I've heard preachers preach on it. I see it when they preach it, but I don't see it when I read it. But here, in the darkest days of his life, when he's depressed and in despair, when all hope is gone and there's nothing left, to me, he looks the most like Jesus. Watch it. Verse number 30, the Bible said that he pushed with all his might. The house fell on the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. All the people. See, he looks like Christ in his sacrifice. Standing in between them pillars, he realized, if I don't do something now, these Philistines will overrun my family. They'll overrun the Danites. I'm the only thing standing in between them and the enemy getting them. Sound a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? He said, I'm going to have to die to save my people. No wonder they called his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And Samson said, it doesn't matter to me. I don't want this enemy to get my people. I don't want him. He never had thought about his people. He had never worried about them. But in the dark place, in the darkest time of his life, it finally got dark enough for him to see it. And down there he said, no matter what it costs me, no matter what I have to do, Lord, just one more time, put me on like a coat, fill me up with the Holy Ghost, and let me make the sacrifice, because if I don't do it, there's nobody else. You called me to do it. Let me do it. And just like Jesus hanging between heaven and earth said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If I don't die, they'll go to hell without you, but I'm going to die in their place. And Samson, pushing with all of his might, pushes that place down, and it falls on all. Even killing Samson. But it is in his death that he does more than he ever did living. Watch the Bible. Not only his sacrifice, but in his success. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Now I know this will shock you when you first hear it, but Jesus did more for me dying than he ever did for me living. Oh, hymn writer said, living, he loved me. But it was dying that he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rise. rising, he justified me freely forever. And one day, hallelujah, he's coming back, oh glorious day. But it was in him dying. It was in him shedding his blood. It was in him giving his life, the guiltless for the guilty. It is in the sacrifice of his body. It is in the shedding of his blood. That's right. I'm one of them old slaughterhouse gospel preachers. I'm one of them old blood-soaked salvation guys. I still believe without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. I still believe there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. I still believe there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. If spaceships land out there in the parking lot and little green men get out, I go out and tell them about a Savior who died on an old rugged cross. I'm telling you, you may be in your darkest moment. You may be in the depths of despair. This may be as bad as you've ever seen it. But I pray it'll get dark enough for you to really see it. May it get dark enough in our lives for us to see it. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the truth of your word, the power of the Holy Ghost. Now may your spirit take your scriptures, the feeble effort of thy servant, and speak to our hearts for Jesus' sake.